We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Four o'clock hour of the Hawk and Crowder simulcast. Dono in for Hawk today. Crowder is here. Solana is here. And it's time for your chance to win Channing's Change. The code word this hour is MATCH. That's MATCH, M-A-T-C-H. Text that word now to 72881, and you have a chance to win $1,000. Text the word MATCH now to 72881, and you could win $1,000 of Channing's Change. So your next chance to win will be tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. with the Joe Rose Show. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. 4:15, we're going to talk some Canes with Andrew Ivins from Inside the U. Solana was at the Jimmy Butler Heat debut last night. Yeah, I was watching the game, Crowder, with my parents. And my dad, he was a casual Heat fan, but like he asked me, like, oh, wait, why is Jimmy debuting tonight? It's the fourth game of the year. And I told him, well, he just had a baby, so he missed the first games on paternity. And my dad, you missed three games for having a baby?
I'm with you, Dad.
No, I'm not. I'm with Jimmy on that.
What?
Take all the time. You just brought a new life into this world. Take all the time you need. And you know what? The team played great without him. They mm-hmm. went 2-1. And I think it gave Chris Silva, the rest of the guys in that rotation, a time, chance to get some experience to see they can win games without Jimmy. I'm fine with Jimmy Butler celebrating a new life.
Who Minnesota beat him?
Yeah, Minnesota was the team that
right?
beat him.
What about when they missed the playoffs by one game? Because it happens every year. You're going to say, damn, when's that game? You're going to go to a game in February or March. And I'm going to say, yeah, that game that Jimmy missed, that he shouldn't have missed, they could have won that game and been the sixth seed, the fifth seed, the fourth seed, had home court if they would have played in that game. I'm just with you. No. We had a whole argument last week about it, about being there when the baby pops out, falls out, slimy with the little afterbirth coming.
It's a big moment.
You're doing this again?
I'm not doing it. I've seen it twice, but we'll pass that.
I've seen it as well, yeah.
But once the baby's healthy, once the baby comes out the incubator, they wrap it in the little swaddle, the boy-girl color, both colors, so they're too cheap to find a blue and a pink, so they make it a pink and blue one.
Yeah, and they've been using the same pack, because I noticed comparing my son's baby pictures to people who had kids 20 years ago, same exact blankets, like they haven't changed.
So if your son was born on a Saturday, when were you comfortable to leave the house?
Like to go back to work?
Yeah.
For me, about 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Donald, the baby sleeps 20 hours a day.
It's a big adjustment in life because when he wakes up, you got to feed him. You mm-hmm. got to make sure he's nourished. You got to change diapers.
Did your wife breastfeed?
She actually didn't.
Oh, okay, so you had the cousin. Oh, my wife breastfed, and I don't have breasts, Dono.
I kind of do, but that's a whole nother
when
issue.
He's hungry, what am I going to throw at him?
I mean,
a grilled cheese?
Yeah, you swaddle him to help him go to bed at
what,
night?
You want a go-go applesauce?
I wasn't comfortable going to work for 2 weeks.
That's crazy.
2 weeks.
Go to work. Go play some basketball. Go on home. You'll see the baby. I'll tell you this. The baby's probably going to be asleep. Because they sleep 20 hours a day.
Yeah, even my kid now, he's 20 months old. He sleeps like 14 hours a day.
That's what I'm saying. Find a little window, take your ass to work, and go on home. You can take the night shift. That's what I do. I take the night shift. Let my wife sleep. I'll take the night shift. I'll get up. She'll pump during the day. She'll give me a little bottle. I'll feed it. But, yeah, you can still go to work, man.
The texter writes in, and I assume he's talking about the fathers and not, like, the mother. But he says, when you have a baby at my job, you get 3 months off.
They give us, like, 2 months, right?
Well, it was a month when I had my kid. I used 2 weeks right away, then I used the other 2 weeks later.
If I have a kid, I'm going to use him, even though I'm saying this now.
Yeah.
Because you get him. You got to use him.
I might
right?
have another kid just for the time
off. Would
y'all
get on me if I have a kid and use my paternity leave? Because I'm so strong against paternity leave.
Well, you know what, though? I do feel like you're being a little disingenuous, though, because I can remember reading – this was even before, like, I really knew you personally. But I can remember reading – a newspaper article about you when you decided to retire from football. Mm-hmm. And what really touched me was, I don't remember who wrote this, if it was like Salguero or Dave Hyde, or they probably all wrote about it. I don't remember whose story I was reading, but the paragraph that really touched me about when you decided to retire was you were like in bed with your newborn son and you were thinking about, I've got so much love here at home. Why do I need to play football anymore? So you just kind of went on permanent paternity leave from the NFL.
But then I went and got a radio job. Like, I didn't want to, because I was, honestly, I took that year off. Because my wife, when the Dolphins cut
me.
So
you took a year of paternity.
My wife was 9 months pregnant. Like, she was going to pop it
any really?
Moment. Camp starts mid-August. My son was born August 29th, I think. I got cut, like, August 20th. So it was like my wife was big as a house. And I was like, you know what? The Dolphins had owed me some money already, guarantees. I was like, I'm going to take the year off. Be with my son. Then my wife got pregnant again. And then I decided to retire all the way. But even when my wife had our daughter and my son, like, I started radio when I would leave 6 hours a day to go do radio and come back home because you can work.
Oh, man. So Solana was at Jimmy Butler's Heat debut last night. Did it feel, was there an extra buzz in the arena? Like, did it feel like a special, I know it took you forever to get to the arena, which is a whole nother problem, but did it feel special, almost like a playoff type atmosphere to see Jimmy make his debut?
I wouldn't say it felt like a playoff type atmosphere, but yeah, like there's, and even going back to the home opener, there's definitely a nice little edge just being at the AAA right now with the excitement of Jimmy Butler. And last night, his debut certainly. Plus, Spo threw him the ball. Literally, the first play for the Miami Heat was a Jimmy Butler layup. Like, they ran a play for him immediately to get the crowd involved. So it was a lot of fun.
And I was jumping up and down for that too. And you know, my dad was still getting over the fact that he missed three games for a birth, but he was excited too. And then the other thing, I love watching Heat games with my dad because he brings it up every time they play now. He says, I'm so glad they got rid of the contract. That's what he calls Hassan Whiteside.
I like it.
Never remembers his name. He never remembers Hassan Whiteside. He just refers to him as the contract. I'm so glad they got rid of the contract.
He wouldn't fit in with this team at all.
Totally not.
The way they play, the way they run. You know what I like? Jimmy impressed me last night was when he was hot. He was 4 for 4. He'll pass the ball.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was going to – I'm used to guys just taking over. I'm hot. Yeah, let me shoot.
He really facilitates.
He will at any moment. He'll be on fire. Is it a better play to make? They would say this about LeBron all the time, and it's true. There's a better play to make than me shooting a 18-foot jumper if somebody's, you know, more open than I am. Make the perfect play. I was impressed by Jimmy last night with that. And then your boy Tyler Hero, man. You got to give that young man credit.
He can, 16 trips to the free throw line, too.
Dude
kept getting fouled shooting threes. I love it.
Dude can draw fouls, but that boy got a wet jumper.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful jumper now.
Let's get to Alejandro Solana's headlines.
Before we get the headlines, I want to make sure, did we give the code word out?
My God.
Let's do that because
I did give the code word match. Yeah, I gave it out.
Just want to make sure. Just want to make sure.
You have another 50 minutes to text the word match to 72881 for your chance to win Channing's Change.
Headlines are brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Tonight, the Florida Panthers are in Colorado.
Well, why do you say it like that?
They're in Colorado.
It's like
Colorado.
Colorado. I kind of like it.
That's
Colorado.
At 10 p.m. at 9:30. You can hear the pregame show with our very own Alex Dono and Doug Plagans. Again, that's at 9:30 on your home for the Florida Panthers, 560 The Joe, WQAM.
Drinking some coffee tonight, man.
The Heat did beat the Hawks 112-97 last night. Tyler Hero, again, leading scorer, 29 points. Tomorrow, they're back in Atlanta, or they're going to be in Atlanta. They're going to play the Hawks again. That's at 7:30 on 790 The Ticket.
A texter just wrote in. This is a great point. I didn't pick up on this. Wait, did Channing just say his son was born August 29th, I think? You don't know your son's birthday?
It's August 29th. I was trying.
You weren't very sure about it, though.
I think I messed up on when camp started and how far. You know, I was trying to do the time between me getting cut and my son's birthday. It's August 29th.
Okay. So Zena's definitely born August 29th.
Daughter's February 11th.
Okay.
Yeah, those are my two numbers.
See, I only have one kid, so I can remember his birthday, but February 27th. But if I had more than one kid, yeah, it'd probably be tough.
Yeah, they don't really care either. Your wife will always remind you because she's going to ask about the party and the kids ask about the party. Yeah.
Anything else, Solana?
Yeah, Jaren Williams will start for Miami this Saturday when they play in Tallahassee versus Florida State. And sticking with some college news, Coach Nick Saban said quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, we're all keeping our eyes on how Tua recovers from that ankle injury. He will be a, quote, game-time decision when the number 2 ranked Crimson Tide host number 1 LSU. Remember when they catapulted it to number 1 after beating Auburn, and of course that big UF win. Remember that, Crowder?
Huge. Yep.
Remember
huge.
That big UF win, Crowder? That's on November 9th, so next Saturday.
You know what? I might be okay if Tua I'm sure he will, but if he didn't play against LSU, that's a game, Crowder, where he might get hurt. So as a Dolphin fan, put him on ice for the rest of the year. Like, I'm shut him down, bro. Like,
you don't want to see him against the best?
I've seen enough. Shut him down.
I honestly wanted to see Joe Burrow and Tua on the field at the same time.
So did I, but now that I'm thinking of it in terms of being a Miami Dolphin fan, not so much a college football fan, but thinking of the future, I want him to get healthy.
But you can see both of them. Like, think about it. What's the list? Tua's on the top of the list, and I'm with you. I think Tua's a really good quarterback. Joe
Burrow's sneaking up there.
Fromm's falling off a little bit this year.
Jalen Hurts, how highly do you rate him?
He's not up there with the top three or four. Like, he's impressive. I think he won the Heisman, but I think he's more of a Tebow Heisman. Well, you're the Heisman winner. Yeah, you go late first round. Yeah. People are drafted over Tebow. But I like to see the top guys versus the top guys. Like, I want to see a bowl game with Herbert versus Fromm, Herbert versus Tua.
Sure.
Like, I want to see that. So, Joe Burrow is flying up the charts right now. Most of his throws are within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. They have a real quick game. I want to see Joe Burrow versus an offense that can score. I was excited to see Burrow versus Tua when I saw that on the schedule.
The more that I think of this, not only as a Miami Dolphin fan do I want Tua not to play, keep him healthy, because he might get re-injured against LSU. I'm also a big Nick Saban hater. And if Tua doesn't play, better chance LSU wins the game.
Yeah, Mac, what's his name? Mac Jones or something?
Something like that.
Yeah, he ain't going to win. He ain't going to beat LSU.
Anything else, Solana?
Yeah, Game 7 of the World Series is tonight, 8:08 p.m. Are any of you, like, interested in a Game 7?
I couldn't be less interested. Like, just when you say Game 7. Like, Game 7, I'll probably tune in for a bit just because it's Game 7.
Right.
But I haven't been interested in the World Series since the Marlins killed baseball for me 3 times over. Well, what about you, Crowder?
I'll watch it just because the Mattress Mac have all that money on it.
And
they
keep
showing him, like, and we've talked about
it. What
does
he have, 19 million on tonight's game?
I guess 20.
Oh, my God.
I think he lost, I can't remember the number, but maybe 10 million or something like that yesterday. Jeez. Because the Astros lost.
Jeez. That's crazy. No, we talked to, Darren Revelle, and he said he, honestly, with his math, he'd probably make more if the Astros lose. Because the Astros win, he got to pay back all those people. Because the thing started where he said, if the Astros win you come buy a mattress from me. If the Astros win the World Series, I'll reimburse you for your mattress.
Right.
So now Darren was talking about doing the math, and he's like, to be honest, he probably would lose more money by the Astros winning from having to pay all those customers back.
What's the most you've ever bet on a game? 19 million? I know you're a big baller.
Ooh, probably $1,000.
Really?
Yeah, it's always on the Gators. Because I'm not.
Really?
I'm not. Emotionally attached to any other team than Florida football.
$100.
You know what? I'm lying. Corey Brewer, Joakim Noah, and those guys were at Florida.
Yeah.
The real good team, the Billy Donovan, those guys. I got well into the thousands.
Oh, really?
Because we just knew they were going to win. Me and my buddies. All my buddies were still at UF. They were telling me they're like, Crowder, man, I know you gamble a little bit. This team is going to drag anybody they play, so I started putting some money on it.
Anything else, Alejandro?
Yeah, and finally, the Game of Thrones prequel, that HBO is working on with Naomi Watts is no longer in the works. HBO has canceled it.
But I think they're still doing, like, other prequels.
Yeah, there's another prequel I was reading as well. There's another prequel that's going to focus on the reign of the Targaryen kings, and that is still in the works. But the other prequel that they were doing with Naomi Watts, which got a lot of hype around it, is canceled.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll give it a chance because, like, I love the Game of Thrones universe, but I'm still so bitter about how they botched the end of that show. Like, I'm like a spurned lover. Like, it was so poor, in my opinion. I know some people liked it. You're crazy. But I thought they just ruined the end of that show, that it kind of put a whole bad taste in my mouth. But maybe if you keep Dan and Dave, the showrunners who ruined the original show, far away from the new show, maybe they'll do better.
You didn't like the end?
I didn't like the end.
The two brothers fighting, the dragon tearing everything up. I
mean, it just turned into.
I tell you, they lined us up for years for five minutes of everything to end, but I enjoy it. It was pretty to watch.
Somebody says, Dono, totally right. I hope Tua never plays another collegiate down. I'm telling you.
Oh, no, I'm not taking a shot. I like to see good guys play each other. I think Tua's legit. There's a lot of Tua hate out there. I think Tua is a real good quarterback, and here Tua only throws quick passes to slants to Jerry Jeudy. Go watch Tua play. Stop with that dumb narrative he throws slants to Jerry Jeudy all the time.
We should also draft Jerry Jeudy, and we're good.
He throws the ball down the field. He has a beautiful release. Watch him in the red zone, how the windows he can hit. Like, I've watched a lot of Tua, not because I love Alabama, but they're always on TV. You can't get away from Nick Saban if he's a football coach. Go watch Tua, really. Watch him without your bias. Just watch him play football, and all that narrative about he can only do this and that should end if you watch a game.
We'll talk some Miami Hurricanes with Andrew Ivins, who's going to join us next year on the Hawk and Crowder Show. You are now rapping with 50 Cent. Hawk and Crowder with Dono in for Hawk today. Crowder's here. Solana's here. It's my fault, guys, but I don't feel like we, mainly me, have given enough respect to the fact that it's Florida State week for Miami.
Yes.
Maybe it's not my fault because a couple 4-4 teams. Like, this is not like Miami versus Florida State like 1991. It's a little bit different this year.
But you got to play for pride in the state. You got to, you know what? Recruiting, though. It's big for recruiting.
Huge.
Yes.
Well, and our next guest is very qualified not only to talk about the game itself, but the recruiting aspects as well. Andrew Ivins, who's a Miami insider for 24/7 Sports, joins us now. You know, Andrew, how much buzz are you feeling for Miami, Florida State? Because I get it. We're not talking about two powerhouse teams. Like, we're talking about two teams fighting for bowl eligibility, but it's still a big game, right?
Yeah. I mean, it could be worse, right? I mean, both these teams could have lost last week, and then they'd be 3-5. So at least they're both 500 with that same record. I don't know. I mean, I feel like as we're getting closer and closer to Saturday, it's starting to pick up. You know, I saw some reports on social media that a lot of Florida State fans haven't claimed tickets. But I think as we get closer and closer, and it'll start to feel like Florida State, especially when they get on the field. I mean, remember last year the two teams got together, I think multiple times in pregame scuffle. So I think once it's Saturday, it'll feel like it should.
We got the announcement today from Manny Diaz that Jaren Williams will be the starter at quarterback on Saturday. Is that the right decision in your mind?
That's a long sigh. I mean, I think so. I think I told myself kind of after how the Pitt game played out that I'd be pretty surprised if it wasn't Jaren Williams. But at the same time, you can make a case for Nkosi Perry. I mean, Nkosi 6-3 as a starter. He beat Florida State last year. He beat Virginia this year. And really, those are two of Miami's real signature wins over the past two seasons. And so, I mean, I think you could go with him. But Jaren, this has kind of been Jaren's team since since fall camp. So, I mean, I get it. I'm just interested to see what type of game plan they go with and if they put him in a position to succeed.
And, Andrew, would you be fine if they put Jaren out there and he's just not doing it and they throw Nkosi in? Because I believe, eight games? I would say both of them played in five of them, six of them maybe. Like, are you okay with the hot hand type approach?
I mean, you know, what is the saying? If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one quarterback. But
bingo.
I think if you're Miami, you kind of just – you're okay with it. We've seen these guys come off the bench. I mean, Nkosi Perry – came in for relief against Virginia Tech. I mean, he almost won them that game. I mean, he was in a four-score hole, and he got that team back to a one-point lead, and they ended up not winning. And then what we saw from Jaren this past week, I mean, it's not the ideal situation. I talked to people that were on staff last year, and they think it's just kind of ironic how not Manny's botched this quarterback situation or anything like that, but, I mean, he was a guy who was so against rotating quarterbacks and – you know, playing different guys. But here we are, eight games into his tenure, and it's like, really, who knows what's going to happen? I think I wouldn't be surprised if both guys took a snap on Saturday.
We're joined by Andrew Ivins from 24/7 Sports. Now, Andrew, despite all the quarterback rotation, Tate Martell has never even been able to get himself in the conversation. Can you give us the scoop on just – and maybe it's because they made the decision to try him out at wide receiver earlier, but, I mean, how much has he struggled at quarterback that he can't even get himself in position to have a chance to play?
Well, we kind of saw it in the spring when he showed up. I mean, I don't know if you ever out at any of those practices, but he's not the most accurate passer. And I think Dan Enos, given what we've seen from his offense, they want a guy who who can make the throws and stand in that pocket and kind of command the offense. And I just don't think Tate is that fit. So most people are going to be like, well, why did Miami bring him in anyways? I mean, go back to when T&M first took its first step. I mean, Manny said they were going to address the quarterback issue, and Tate was really the best option available. I kind of joked from the start, you know, I think Alex Hornibrook might have been a better fit for Miami, and he's going to be lining up for Florida State this weekend. But, I mean, that's a story for another day. I just think with Tate right now, from what I've heard and what I've gathered, he's just not the most focused individual. You know, he took that, a leave of absence for family reasons, didn't travel with the team to Pitt, practiced on Sunday night. I don't know if he's ever going to be the quarterback for Miami, but I do think it would be wise for maybe Miami, and I keep saying this, to go back to that Wildcat package we saw with him kind of in week zero against Florida, just because I think that he does have the ability to throw the ball well enough, and that makes the defense kind of game plan and keep them on their toes. So I'm interested to see if we kind of see that from Dan Enos on Saturday.
And speaking of Tate Martell, you know, whatever's going on with him, I don't really believe Tate will affect this team that much. And you brought up a point with the Wildcat package. I think that might be where he can help the offense. But as a receiver, you know, I wasn't impressed with his performance. But a guy I was impressed with is Jeff Thomas. Jeff Thomas has NFL talent, and he sure has NFL speed. Andrew, what's going on with him? Suspended for two games. He transferred somewhere and then transferred back in. Like, you're around the team more. What's up with Jeff Thomas?
I mean, this has been the story with Jeff Thomas since really, I mean, he emerged on that recruiting scene. I mean, he disappeared. There was a documentary that I think it was Sports Illustrated and LeBron did called like 89 Blocks. In his senior season, he kind of did the same thing. He just went MIA. I mean, he was gone and he came back. I mean, this has just kind of been the thing with Jeff. You got to get him focused. And I think Miami's excited for him to be back against Florida State. I just want to know how much they're going to play him. I mean, Manny and preaches accountability. We don't really know the details of why he was suspended for two games or what happened. So is he a guy who they're going to put right into that rotation? I think you would hope so if you're Miami, just because this is a game where you're going to probably try to throw the ball a lot on Florida State. But we really don't know. I mean, that's kind of one of the storylines heading in. Are you going to take, you know, 20 snaps, or is he going to take 50 snaps? Because I think if Miami's, you know, wants to win, it's probably that 50-snap mark.
We're joined by Andrew Ivins from InsideTheU.com, 24/7 Sports. Love to hear your scouting report on Florida State and where they can most hurt Miami, because one thing that scares me a little bit in watching them this past week, they seem to be figuring out how to use Cam Akers, which is everywhere, all over the Wildcat, putting up big yardage. Do you see them improving in recent weeks, and where do they offer the biggest threats?
Well, you nailed it right on the head there with Cam Akers. I mean, Miami, they're going to have to stop Cam Akers. And the good news is Manny Diaz said today that Mike Pinckney should be back and should play Saturday. So it's going to be him and Shaq Quarterman in the middle of the defense. Miami's going to need to clean up the tackles. You know, against Georgia Tech, they, according to Pro Football Focus, where they missed 29 of them, I think Manny said, after that Pittsburgh game, they only missed 8 or something like that. So getting Mike back should help in that department. I mean, they got to stop the run. The one person I think you need to keep an eye on is the scary Terry, Tamori Tarian, or whatever they call him there in the slot. Miami has struggled pretty much throughout the season to kind of limit those slot receivers. So if Cam and him were to get going, I think that would kind of spell some bad news. But the good news for Miami is I believe Florida State's going to start a true freshman at left tackle. Miami, for the first time, is actually going to go up against another Zion Nelson on the other side. So he hasn't faced any defensive front like Miami so far with a Greg Russo and a John Garvin. So if there's one area where I think Miami can kind of exploit and take advantage, it would be getting to the quarterback.
We're joined by Andrew Ivins, who also covers recruiting very closely. So in a general sense, and if you want to get into some specifics, please do, but how has recruiting verbal commits been affected by Miami's uneven play this year? Because I know that a lot of folks, myself included, had great expectations for the new Miami. I felt really good coming into this season, and they're a 4-4 team now. They've lost a couple of really bad games. How has that affected recruiting?
Not as much as you would think. You know, Miami did a real good job, and this is kind of becoming the trend in college football right now. You know, Florida State's done the same. Florida's doing the same. is a lot of teams are trying to lock up their recruiting class in those June and July months, just because they know once you're in the season, the focus is on the season. And then you only got 2 or 3 weeks before that early signing period, which is new. So Miami did a good job of piecing that class together. And the good thing is most of these kids are pretty locked in despite that start. I mean, I know they're fielding calls. You could talk about John Cheney, the running back down there at Plain Jesuit. You know, Florida, Georgia, Alabama have all tried to make a run at him, but he seems to be pretty just locked in. And I think if Miami were to get a win this weekend, that would certainly help just kind of get that narrative going that things are headed in the right direction. Now, I'm not a big believer in kids pick schools based on one result on one Saturday. I think it's more of a big picture. So if Miami's able to go into Tallahassee, play another close game, come out with a win, now you turn around and you sit in the living rooms in December and you say, hey, we beat Florida State 3 years in a row. You know, we're going the right direction. We just need a little bit more help.
And, Andrew, I've heard of running back by committee. I've heard of wide receiver rotation, defensive line rotation. I've never heard of kicker by committee or kicker rotation, man. This is the first time I've ever seen this. What's going on with the kicker? Are you comfortable if the Canes have to kick a field goal against Florida State?
Wow, dude, did you Florida alum just saying we?
Solana, mark the tape. Mark the tape. How comfortable are you if we talking about Miami? I love it. He's a full-blown Canes fan now.
If you listen to Manny Diaz's comments this weekend, he seems to be pretty confident in Camden Price. And Camden's a kid. He's a walk-on out of the Maryland area. I'd kind of written about him when Bax was going through his struggles, you know, after a few of his short misses. And I had some people in the kicking industry, Brandon Kornblue, kind of one of the industry leaders. He was telling me, hey, Camden Price is definitely, you know, I think better than Bax. So he might not have the leg, but he's accurate. I think Miami would have made that change and gone to him. But Camden's another guy who served a 2-game suspension for what we don't really know. But he came back, hit a short, I think it was, 29 yards against Pittsburgh, hit an extra point. I mean, I think what Manny's trying to do, I'm kind of reading the tea leaves, is he's trying to talk up Camden, get him some confidence going. But I got to kind of see it before I believe it. I do think the kicking's in a better department where it's been before, but until we see him make, you know, some with the game on the line, I'm still a little skeptical. And just so you know, Miami's not the only school that's used 3 kickers this season. Nebraska's used 3 as well. Huh. Yeah, they've used 3 as well, and one of them was like a backup safety. So,
I mean, the funny thing is, like 3 weeks ago, I didn't even know we had 3 kickers because I'd never heard of Turner Davidson before he had the McKicken game. Like I had heard, because I may have even read your piece on Camden Price. So obviously, we all knew Bubba Baxa. I'd heard of Camden Price because he was the next guy. I had no idea that Turner Davidson existed until a few weeks ago. So do they have, if necessary, do they have a 4th kicker anywhere?
I don't know. I will say what's funny about the Turner Davidson thing. I was on the field pregame, and I was talking with someone, and they're like, hey, they're going to go with this Turner Davidson kid. And I'm like, I don't even feel comfortable reporting this because I don't even know who that kid's name is. So I sent out the tweet saying, hey, you know, hearing this guy might kick. And then, you know, I was nervous until he ran out there for the extra point. I'm like, wow, that's a win. I got that one right. So, yeah, I had no idea who he was either.
Hey, Evan McPherson at Florida, he's 80 for 80 on extra points, just so y'all know that.
What's that like?
Two seasons, 80 for 80. So that's how we do it.
You're trying to save face after dropping a wee when talking about Miami. I see what you're doing. Like, you're trying to inject Florida into the conversation when we all heard you refer to Miami as wee.
2 bits.
Oh, my God. He's Andrew Ivins, does great work. He's a Miami insider for 24/7 Sports. You can check out his work at InsideTheU.com. Andrew, thank you so much, man.
Oh, thanks for having me on, guys.
And follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Ivins, IVINS. So good stuff there on the Canes. And, yeah, I'm glad you brought up the kickers. I'm kind of sorry you did because it brings back flashbacks of Bubba Baxa missing extra points. And
there's a kicking legacy, wide right, wide left, the UM Florida State game. Like, there's a long list of missed field goals with that what's that called? The series?
The series, yeah. There's and it's, you know, Miami's had a couple. The missed extra point a while back. I mean, there have been plenty, but, you know, we tend to think of the wide right, 1, 2, 3, the wide left for Florida State. I can just say this. If it comes down to somebody needing a kick to tie the game late, I hope it's just for my own sanity. I hope it's Florida State and not Miami, because I'm not going to feel good whether it's Baxa, Camden Price, who probably would be the guy, or Turner Davidson. I'm not going to be feeling good about that. Hawk and Crowder show continues. We're with you till 6 o'clock.
Y'all got to get over to Loop Back Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet, and see what a real dealership looks like. See how a real dealership is run. My homeboy, Eric Nunez, he got things going at Loop Back Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet. They have an amazing lineup of cars and trucks. They're award-winning. I see y'all on the road about to break your neck trying to look at them. Go down to Loop Back Road, test drive them, check them out, take you a nap. They are so comfortable. Loop Back Road will save you thousands more than any other dealer in the nation. Not the city, not the state, the nation. And other dealers got to sneak in there. They got to call Eric and sneak in there with their moms, their dads, their spouses, their sisters, their brothers, because they can't hook their family up like Eric can hook you up. Lou Backroad is a Silverado headquarters. If you ain't seen the 2019 Silverado, you are missing out. Those trucks are amazing. Find new roads, but don't overpay. If you're in the market for a new car, go see Eric Nunez. Go check out his award-winning sales staff. Go check out his award-winning service department. Those award-winning cars, it is beautiful down there. It's how a showroom is really supposed to look. It's how a dealership is supposed to be run. 441 just south of the Sawgrass Expressway, and online at CoconutCreekChevrolet.com. Loop Back Road, Coconut Creek Chevrolet, find new road.
Coming up next, are we jumping the gun with our excitement for college football allowing players to get paid for their name, image, and likeness? Next. Hawk and Crowder show with Dono in for Hawk today. Yeah. Earlier I was worried that we weren't feeling enough of the spirit of Miami versus Florida State this week, that it's FSU week, and we didn't really get to it for a couple of hours, but I was wrong. Crowder is so much in the spirit of Miami versus FSU that he's dropping stuff like this.
This is the first time I've ever seen this. What's going on with the kicker? Are you comfortable if the Canes?
Yes! So former Florida Gator Channing Crowder is now talking Miami football and dropping "we" when talking about the Canes.
You know, you're talking sometimes and there's like a gnat flies in your mouth. And you. That's how I felt.
That's not what happened to you.
That's how I felt when I said "we." Did you see how fast I pulled back from it?
You did, but still, but the fact that you dropped it in the first place means all this time you spent in South Florida and on the, you know, in and around the flagship station of the Miami Hurricanes, we're next door to the flagship station, you're feeling that Hurricanes love. And I appreciate the fact that you're feeling that love even though the team is not very good right now. And you're still referring to them as "we." I love it.
We are the flagship. I could probably name close to 20 starters for the Canes. I know most of the guys. We talk about
now, how many
so
Gator
much.
Starters can you name?
All of them.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Well, what about you, Dono? How many Gator starters can you name?
Like two, maybe.
That's
zero.
Weird.
Yeah.
Because I have on record you being a Gators fan.
Go Gators. Oh, no. You had to pull that out.
Come on,
I mean,
me.
Yeah,
come
but
on,
hold
come on.
On.
Don't leave me hanging.
Hold on. The difference is with Crowder. With Crowder, you had the context. With me, that was me doing an impersonation of a Gator fan.
No. All the context you need is
go Gators.
Mm-hmm. Dono, I'm with you, man.
Yeah, now you're with me.
And I'll offer it again. I've offered this in the past, Dono, now that you're here.
Yeah.
The bandwagon of UF, we leave the door open.
I'm good.
What's that
I'll
hotel?
Slam it shut.
What's the hotel we leave the light
yeah,
on
no,
for
we'll
you?
Yeah, no, we'll leave the
6?
Key under the rug.
Yeah. What?
No, I don't think that's how it goes.
We'll leave the key under the rug.
No, it's we'll leave the light on for you.
That's what Riley told Dwayne Wade when he left.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that is a thing, but it's not the hotel thing.
No, I think it's something. We'll leave the light on for you.
Yeah.
Dono,
Motel
not,
6.
Yeah, Motel 6. We're not selfish. We're not holding on to the Gators. Come on. Come. There's plenty time. There's plenty fan space for y'all.
I could never
Bro,
do it.
Top 10. One of the top 5 defense in all categories.
First of all, I am loyal to all of my teams. But second of all, one of the two that I would least likely desert would be the Miami Hurricanes. Like, never. Like, I could never desert the Miami. Like, 50 years from now, maybe if the Dolphins never get better, maybe at some point in, like, 45 years I might find a different team. Mm-hmm. Could never happen with Miami football. Never. Never.
Don't do what I do, because I'm holding on to the Buccaneers. So I'm a Bucs fan that covers the Dolphins.
Right.
What
right.
situation am I in?
But I respect the fact that you still hold on to it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it's funny that you held on to it even though you played for the Dolphins and you still, you're more of a Buccaneers fan.
My first shirt, first NFL shirt ever was the old Bucs, the orange and white with the little, little pirate.
The creamsicle.
With the little knife in his mouth looking all sassy. That was the first shirt I ever had and I stuck with it my whole life.
Now, if you were playing against the Bucs, you take it a little easy on him?
No, I was excited. I actually thought I was going to get drafted by him, but then they took Barrett Rudd, and I actually talked to Doug Williams, who was in the, played with my father with the Bucs back in the day, and was in the scouting department for the Bucs, and I was like, "Bro, I was available. You took Barrett Rudd?" And he told me, "It's like, well, if you had injuries, Barrett was healthy." He explained it to me, but
you had character issues as well, didn't you?
Yeah, a bunch of arrests, Donald. Bunch of
well,
arrests.
It's kind of, and also like to me, it goes to show you that. The perceived character issue stuff can be wrong because you're a very good guy. Like, I vouch for you. People ask me, what's Crowder like? Really good guy is what I say. Really good guy.
No, honestly, it was all fights. Every time I got arrested, it was just fighting. Yeah. But it wasn't no domestic violence. It wasn't hitting no girl. It was, like, my thing when I was young, like, if you yell at me or call me a name, I got to punch you in the face.
Right.
I'm not going to yell back at you. Like, the whole thing now, hey, bro, man, you get out of here. Hey, you can go to hell. And they want to yell back and forth. Bro, if you tell me to go to hell, this is when I was 18, if you cuss at me, I'm going to punch you in the face. Yeah. Now, as a 35-year-old, I understand that it's crazy and it's not efficient and it pretty much ruins your draft status and a portion of your life, which it did to me. But at that age, bro, I'm not arguing with no grown man. Talk crazy to me.
Fair enough.
Face punch.
Which I can respect it. You stand up for yourself.
Yes, yes. Face punches were given. I was giving them out freely. And got me dropped from the first round to the third round.
It did.
That's what happened. It did. Lost $8 million.
Now, I'll admit, yesterday when I saw the headline that the NCAA is going to allow, they're going, because you know, we've already heard about the Fair Pay for Play Act, which California has passed and other states are looking at, including Florida. But now that the NCAA, the news came out yesterday, they are going to allow players to profit from the name, image, and likeness. When I saw the headline, I got really excited. And the first thing I got excited about was they got to bring back that NCAA video game. Like, oh my, I wasted so many hours of my, I loved it, the NCAA video game. But I was listening to 790 The Ticket earlier today, and I was listening to Zaz and Amber Wilson is an attorney, and hearing her talk about it completely killed my buzz, because here's the key quote from this story, right? And this is the first sentence from the news bit about this from ESPN, okay? The NCAA's top decision makers voted unanimously Tuesday to start the process of modifying its rule to allow college athletes to profit from their names, images, and likenesses, quote, in a manner consistent with the collegiate model. What the hell does that mean? Like, does that mean
changing the model? To
like they're gonna add a few dollars to everybody's scholarship, or they're gonna give you like a few extra snacks, right? Like, didn't Shabazz Napier complain that he couldn't get like any peanut butter in the middle of the night when he at the NCAA? Like, are they gonna like add like unlimited cream cheese for the bagels? Like, I think it was a great point she brought up that when you read that quote, in a manner consistent with the collegiate model, that doesn't sound like they're just going to start letting guys take money from autograph people and from car dealerships and stuff. It sounds to me like everybody got excited by the headline, but we don't really know what that headline means yet because the NCAA has not figured out how they want to allow this to happen.
I took from that, they want to regulate it. They don't want a kid to be able to get a check if it's not going through them first.
Right, because the way that the Fair Pay to Play Act, to my understanding, is that as long the player is not getting paid a salary by their university, that they're not ready to cross that bridge yet. But if and this came up for Johnny Manziel years ago because he got in trouble for signing autographs. If a memorabilia shop wants to give you money to sign autographs, they are now allowed to do that under that law. Or if the Chevrolet dealership wants your face on their poster to do a commercial, they're allowed to pay you for that work, which was not the case, isn't the case right now under the NCAA. But it doesn't sound like the NCAA is opening up just to let those things happen. They want to find their way to get their hands on this and do it in a way that they're not completely rattling the cage.
That's what you hit it on the head. I don't think they care about the kids generating their own money. They want their hand in the pot.
Yeah.
That's what the NCAA, that's what they're about. They want to make their money. So if Johnny Manziel, his sophomore year, gets a $1 million car deal, Yeah, Johnny. This, and I don't know exactly how it's structured, but I believe they're saying he can make some money. He's not getting that whole million.
Right.
We need our cut.
Or that you're exactly. They're either going to cap it that he can only make, you know, a small amount of money on it, or they're going to tax it where
yes.
you can offer him whatever you want to, but if you offer him $1 million, he's getting, you know, 10 grand of that and we're taking the rest.
That's what they don't want like with Johnny. Or right now, you know, to be honest, if they do the video game thing, like you have to pay everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I don't know. I'm not gung-ho about the video game. Because if number 56, the third string guard, is on the Madden, on the NCAA video game, his number's on there. He's on the team. Therefore, he needs a check. Like, I think I got a $280 check or $430 check, something. It was
nice.
It was a couple hundred dollars, but it wasn't life-changing.
It's found money, though.
With that NCAA, the litigation that he already did.
Oh, the Ed O'Bannon thing.
Because
yeah.
I was on two years of NCAA football. But – If right now Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, Jerry Jeudy, those names you know, they could really go out and say, hey, I'll sign autographs for you. And somebody will give them 10, 20 grand, 30 grand. But if you do the video game, you have to pay every player that's on the team if he's in that video game. God. That's why I don't think it's going to go the way people are excited that this game's coming back because they would rather – think about that. Think about Joe Burrow, all the crazy LSU fans. Can we let Joe Burrow go out and sign autographs for 50 grand? They have to send the 50 grand to the university, and then we can distribute it how we want to distribute
right.
it to Joe.
And we're going to give some to the women's soccer team and the volleyball team, and then Joe's going to get $18 of it. Like,
and they're going to find a way to do that.
Yeah.
But if they start giving everybody money or having a video game where now we have to sign a check to everybody, that's taking money out of their pocket too. And then the video game company as well taking money out of their pocket. I think they're okay with the players going out with their own people and finding deals, but then they want to get the deal passed by their desk first.
Right.
That's how I think they're going to figure it out.
Right. I mean, listen, I still think that all of this is a step in the right direction because once the floodgates open, and this is sort of the first step to that, I don't know how many years or decades from now it's just going to be normal for human beings to get paid what they're worth, but I think we're inching closer to that, right? So I think what this ruling shows you, or this NCAA statement shows you, is they're certainly not ready just to let all the flood water in, but this is like the first sign that there's like a hole in the dike and it's leaking a little bit. Like, this is the first sign to that.
The conversation started.
Yeah.
And the NCAA didn't even want to act like this was a problem.
Think about how long it's taking for athletes to be able to use marijuana. That's kind of getting normalized. Like, we're moving in that direction, but it's not a quick thing. Like, 15 years ago, they didn't just decide, you know what, we're going to stop testing for weed and don't even worry about it, but we're moving in that direction now. I think this is going to be similar to that.
And once they do it, it's going to honestly be, what is it, a trial and error thing.
Yeah.
Whenever they do figure out how to do it, somebody's going to find a loophole, just like teams do with rules.
Yeah.
Just how teams with the PI rule in NFL, now guys are using it offensively, or defense are using it to say, oh, the offensive guy pushed off. You're going to find every rule and find a loophole. The Patriots do it all the time with loopholes. So they're gonna present a bill. You're going to read the bill, and some smart agent or some smart uncle or some smart handler, whatever you want to call these real good players, the guys, their team around them, they're going to find a way to find – they're going to find a loophole – and what to do to get money. And then NCAA is going to say, oh, you can't make it that way. You can make it this way. Or if it happens that way, pass it by our desk. I'll tell you what, I don't believe the NCAA is going to let anybody hand a check to a player that's playing on their field.
Yeah, they has to go through them first. Oh, how about this? A texter writes in, I remember Crowder in the NCAA video game. He kept getting suspended.
I don't know if they did that, but I missed three games when I was at Florida.
Another texture says Crowder would have made a killing in a bail bond commercial.
Don't get the joke.
You don't?
How? What?
Hawk and Crowder show continues.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.